When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast. Today's date, July 11th, episode 68. In today's podcast, we get into four topics. Number one, we'll recap USA's 86-72 win over Canada last night. I'll talk about some of my concerns I've had and were some of them addressed and who would I be having in my starting lineup. Number two, we're going to go to Cooper Flagg, who had a really good performance as part of the select team and helped prepare this Olympic team for the Paris Olympics. I'll talk a little bit about Cooper Flagg. If you don't know about him, you better start studying up. Number three, I'm going to go to what I call my best dynamic duos, the top five defensive duos in the NBA for this upcoming season. And then fourth, and then lastly, with the Vegas Summer League starting on Friday night, I'll give you four things that I want to look at. Let's get started today with the 86-72 win by the USA over Canada last night. Listen, simply put, when I talked about this team, I talked about some concerns I had with them. One would be rebounding, and obviously the other being their ability to shoot the three. So if you look at last night, quickly with the box score, Anthony Edwards, I'll get to him in a second, 13 points. Steph Curry, 12 points. AD, double-double. In a game in which the U.S. shot 51% from the floor, but only shot 7 of 23 from three, it's not a lot of three-point volume. Simply put, the United States looked a little bit shaky to me early on until Ant Edwards got in the game. And Ant Edwards, who self-proclaimed that he's going to be the best scorer, leading scorer in his team, came out guns blazing. And he really was that offensive spark plug that the United States needed. So let's talk about the positives. Number one, the play of Ant Edwards. Number two, the play of Anthony Davis off the glass. Number three, their defensive intensity, I thought, was really good, holding a Canadian team to only 43% shooting from the floor and holding them to 7 out of 33, 21% from three. Those were fantastic, fantastic things. Honestly, the third thing, I like the fact that this team shares the ball. 25 assists on 37 field goals. Unselfish basketball for a team that's loaded with NBA superstars. So where are my concerns? Well, number one, only 23 three-point attempts, only 21 points in total from the three-point line. That's a concern that I've had going into this because I don't know if they have enough, let's say, shooters on this team. If you look at it right now, 7 out of 23, 3 out of 7 makes came from Steph Curry, right? So right there, there's your one guy that I would call your big-time shooter. So if you take Steph out of that, okay, you go 4 for 18 from three. That is something that is going to be a concern of mine moving forward. The rebounding, good job. 53 to 48, I don't like it. Even though we won the rebounding battle, for you to give up 15 offensive rebounds. Now, you can look at that and say, well, we shot at a higher percentage, so on and so forth. Still, you never want to give up more than 3 offensive rebounds a quarter. You look at they play quarters here, so that should be, the number should be 12 or less. So that's two things that I wanted to look at. One other pause really quick are the 9 blocks. Love it that we block shots. But 15 turnovers, that's a concern, but that could be about getting to know each other. When it comes down to this team, folks, it's simple, okay? Through my concerns about their ability to shoot the three, their ability to rebound, right, at times, the fact that they're older and have guys that, you know, obviously, Kawhi's gone, and let's be honest, folks, Kawhi shouldn't have even been there for the first place. The guy didn't finish out the regular season or the playoffs. Why is he playing in the Olympics, especially for a team with the Clippers that just brought him back, gave him 3 years? And I honestly think, folks, at the end of the day, Kawhi wasn't starting. Kawhi don't start. Kawhi wasn't playing. Simply put, that's all it is. That's a little bit of an ego thing. And speaking of ego, the USA actually, they got it right. Derek White was a better replacement than Jaylen Brown. Simply put, look how Jaylen Brown has behaved on social media, kind of saying conspiracy theories, so on and so forth. Here is a guy that honestly is not the most willing passer on his own team. And how would he feel coming off the bench? Because he's playing with guys that I think that are better than him. So let's just put all of that nonsense to bed. Grant Hill, right decision here. Now, here's the thing. And it's very simple. As a coach, we always tell our players, defense is our absolute. The effort must always be there. Whether we're scoring or not, we have to defend. And we have to defend at a high level. The USA defended at an extremely high level after a slow start, and their defense fueled their offense. Simply put, if we defend like this every game in the Olympics, we're not losing. We're not losing because we have too many players that can score the ball enough, and we have enough guys that lock it down. Now, what would I do with the starting lineup? Last night, they were Booker, LeBron, Embiid, Curry, Holiday. Okay? Here's how I would do it with this. Okay? I would not be starting Devin Booker. I love what I got out of Anthony Edwards in that game. So until Kevin Durant is ready, I would go ahead and I would put Anthony Edwards in that starting five. Once Durant comes back, you got to take care of the vets, right? You got to take care of LeBron. You got to take care of Steph. And you got to take care of Durant, right? I love Holiday in the starting lineup. Because Drew Holiday is a defensive dynamo. He's the best defensive guard in the world, and you need him to guard some of these big-time guards. I like Drew Holiday where he is with Steph Curry in the backcourt. And then, obviously, Ant Edwards goes into me for Devin Booker until KD is back. So if you want to just keep Booker in the starting lineup and then slide KD when he's ready, that's fine. And then Ant Edwards can kind of be that dynamo coming off the bench. Speaking of the Olympic team, there were highlights that were shown over the last, I would say 72 hours of the play of Cooper Flagg. If you don't know Cooper Flagg, the best thing to come out of Maine since Poland Spring and Lobster, this kid showed up at 17 years old as part of the select team, the youngest guy there, and this dude balled out. So if you don't know enough about Cooper Flagg, I'll let you know about him. He's going to be the number one pick of the 2025 draft. He's 6'9". He scored about 17 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists per game. And you're like, wait, that's it? Folks, he played for Mount Verde. Mount Verde is coached by Kevin Boyle, the old coach of St. Pat's. There's a ton of pros that have gone through that program. And this is the best high school team in the country. So Cooper Flagg, what a fantastic performance. And Cooper Flagg, I'm going to say this, folks. You know, at one point last year, I did a quick take on who was the face of American basketball, the future face. You know, if you look at a guy like LeBron, it's probably got 2 or 3 years left. A guy like Curry's got 2 or 3 years left. I don't count Embiid because even though he's American, he's born in Cameroon, right? So you start looking around. Is it Ant? Is it Tatum? You know, can Ja get his act together? You know, is it Zion if he can stay healthy? Folks, the future of American basketball, the name is Cooper Flagg. This kid at 6'9" can do it all. And it's going to be a joy to watch. The Duke faithful, Duke Nation, enjoy it. Because you're only going to have him for 1 year. And this guy is going for the league. Tank for Cooper, tank for Flag, raise the flag, capture the flag, whatever flag you want. You want to win the lottery in 2025 because Cooper Flag is that damn good. Can't wait to watch Cooper Flagg this year play at Duke. And I'll be honest with you, I can't stand Duke at all. Let's move on to the I call the defensive duos in the NBA. So what I did, folks, is I looked at teams after the beginning of free agency and some trades, and I'm giving you my top five defensive pairings, meaning two guys on a roster together. Number five, I'm going to go to Orlando, and I'm going to go with the combination of Jalen Suggs and KCP. Jalen Suggs is a defensive dynamo. You're looking at the fact that he got 1.4 steals per game. KCP got 1.3. Look at the defensive win shares, 3.2% for Jalen Suggs, 4.8 for KCP. And this defensive domino for this team, Jamal Mosley, and they played really good defense, KCP helps them out. I know he can shoot it from three at about 40%, but that backcourt of you know, obviously Jalen Suggs and KCP is really going to give teams fits. Now, the reason why they're number five is they're both guards. So I don't know if they can guard anything more than a one and a two. They can't go 1-3, 1-4, so on and so forth. So my number five defensive duo in the NBA to come off the season is Jalen Suggs and KCP. Number four, Alex Caruso and Lu Dort. I am a huge Caruso guy. Caruso is the type of guy that I always would want on my team. 4.9 defensive win shares, defensive field goal percentage allowed of 45.2%, 1.7 steals per game, and a block per game. This is one of the toughest guys in the room. He's really going to help that Oklahoma City team in the backcourt with SGA late-game situations when they need a stop. He's not going to start. So that's part of the reason why he's fourth, because this is the guy that's coming off the bench. And obviously, Lu Dort has really made himself one of the best defenders in the NBA at the wing position. 4.6 defensive win shares, 44.6% defensive field goal percentage allowed. Lu Dort, a dynamic defender, aggressive, rugged, but I still have them number four. Number three, people are going to disagree with me with this. I'm going with Holiday and White at three, okay? I said it before. He's on the Olympic team. They both are. Both of them second team, all defensive team. They are one of the best, that's probably the best defensive backcourt in the league. Holiday can play 1-2, maybe a little bit of a three against a smaller three. Derek White can guard 1-2. They have switchability ability. They guard the ball really good. They get out in passing lanes, and their defensive win shares were outstanding. My thing with them, just like Suggs, to go along with KCP, is they're two guards. So they're basically stuck in that one and two area in regard to who they have to guard. It's in point guards and shooting guards. Best defense in the league, but the third best defensive duo or dynamo duo in the league. Number two, this is based off the trade, Herb Jones and DeJounte Murray. Herb Jones has become one of the better defenders in the league. 3.0 defensive win shares, 44% defensive field goal percentage. And then DeJounte Murray, don't look at the defensive field goal or shooting percentage because Atlanta don't play no damn defense. 4.9 defensive win shares. And the reason why they are higher than Holiday and White is because those guys are bigger. DeJounte Murray a little bit bigger, so he can guard probably 1-3, and Jones 1-3 as well because he is a small forward. But my number one defensive duo, and you can hate me all you want, I don't care if the defensive win shares are lower, is Bridges and Anunoby of the Knicks. Simply put, they can guard Mikal Bridges 1-4. OG even guarded Embiid in the first round of playoffs. He can go 1-5. So now you have a situation in New York where you have guys that, if you're Tom Thibodeau, you look at the two best, unless it's a starting center, so obviously with Mitchell Robinson, 1-4, you have those two guys that can guard their two best offensive players. So you may see them against Dallas guarding Luka and Kyrie. You may see that at times, right? You may see them go against another strong backcourt of Maxey and Paul George and see those two guys guarding those two. They are fantastic. They are long. They are athletic. They can block shots. They can get out in passing lanes. And they could guard 1-4. In the case of OG, 1-5. Because of the defensive versatility, combined with the scheme that Tom Thibodeau has and how hard they play, Mikal Bridges, OG, and Anunoby, they are the number one defensive duo in the league. Number two is Herb Jones and DeJounte Murray. Number three, We are going with Drew Holiday and Derek White. Number four, we're going with Alex Caruso and Lu Dort. And number five, we are going with Jalen Suggs and KCP. Let's end today's podcast with the fact that we have NBA Summer League starting in Vegas starting Friday afternoon. So I want to give you quickly the four things I want to look at. Number one, Bronny James. Okay. Listen, there's been a lot of good points that have been brought up about this. And we got to pick a lane, folks. Okay. We got to pick a lane of, is this kid a big time prospect? Like, he's going to be a guy and he's going to be a bust, or is he a project? We got to start separating the name from where he got picked. Bronny James was picked 55. He is a project. When you take a guy this late, you're taking a flyer. Throw the last name out of it. Throw the first name out of it. Put him in his lane. And what is he? He's a project. Okay? What have I liked about Bronny? It is the fact that he can defend at an extremely high level. What do I need to see? Folks, he's got to make shots. Okay? He's got to make shots, and he's got to be a facilitator, which he's done. So to me, simply put, I want to see if Bronny can get into a rhythm. Remember, he missed a couple of games with knee soreness. I want to see if he gets into a rhythm in Vegas and he calms down and knocks down some shots. That's all you want to see with the Lakers is, what can he give you a little bit of shooting the ball? We know what he's going to bring in defensively. So, folks, please, 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 let's temper our expectations. Second thing I want to see, I want to see the French trio of Alex Sarr, who was the number two pick overall by Washington. Now, we got to see how he's got to be used, because this guy does not have a strong jump shot. We got to see if he could be a stretch four, because you got to remember that they brought in Jonas Valanciunas on a three-year, $30 million deal. So Sarr, unless he's the backup, is going to be the four, which then makes Kyle Kuzma the three, probably with Jordan Poole at the two. But there's also been some signings there in Washington, so it's kind of a weird mix. So I want to see, in regards to Alex Sarr, can he shoot the ball from the perimeter, and can he rebound a little bit better? Secondly, for the French duo, Zachary Richiche, the number one overall pick by Atlanta. I want to see this shot-making ability that he has been known to have. A guy that can shoot the ball from three, but can put it to the deck and has a mid-range game. Now, the other thing I want to see with Richiche is, when he takes it to the rack at 6'9", only 215 pounds, it's a slight frame. One of his knocks is he's not overly athletic to finish at the rim. Can he finish at the rim in Summer League and take body contact when people run him off the line and take away the mid-range pull-up? So that's what I want to see for Zachary Richiche. Third, Tijan Salam. I talked about it with Charlotte. I did not think this kid should have been picked six. I think they should have traded down, possibly with Memphis, but that's okay. He is there. He is athletic. He's defensive. Can he guard at the NBA level? And what can they get from him offensively? Can he show an ability to knock down a shot? Because you look at this young team, and now there's less pressure, folks, because they brought back Miles Bridges last week on a $375 million contract, and Brandon Miller. Tijan Salam can come off the bench where it's good. Mark Williams is the starting center. And this guy should get about 20 to 25 minutes a night. We'll see if Bridges makes it through all the way through there. But let's temper our expectations for Salam, because he's more, even though he's a number six pick, he is more of a project, not as offensively skilled. The next thing I want to see is, I want to see the big boy. I want to see Zach Edey. Because, folks, I said it on draft night. I said it the next day. I said, if you're asking me who I am taking to win Rookie of the Year, I said Zach Edey, and guess what, folks? Guess who's been balling in Summer League when he played? His name is Zach Edey. So I want to see if he shows an ability to score and score around the basket. He is 7'4". They're not going to let him get banged around and fouled like crazy. They're going to call things a little bit closer to the vest, and they're going to show and allow him to play. If you think about some of the games he's had early on, right? He had his 14 point, 15 rebound in 34 minutes, okay? Against Walker Kessler. I know people want to knock Walker Kessler, but that's one of the better defensive bigs in the NBA. So when you look at that, and then you look at the fact that's the only game he played. Folks, if he gets 14 and 15, it's over. The guy's going to win Rookie of the Year. He's not going to get 14, 15, but 15.78 rebounds, that may get it. I'm going to end today talking about the team that I was so pumped up on what they did at the draft. Lord have mercy. The last thing this team needed is more guys that could put the ball in the hoop. And I'm talking about the Minnesota Timberwolves. So they're Timberwolves. I'm calling it basically the dynamic duo, right? The dynamic duo of Rob Dillingham and Terrence Shannon Jr. For a guy like Rob Dillingham, I want to see how he can transition to the point guard. He was more of a two at Kentucky, but at 6'3", this is a shot maker and a shot creator. But can he create shots for others beside himself? That's going to be something to watch. Terrence Shannon Jr., get buckets. Get buckets. That's what he did at Illinois. That's what he did for playing for a guy like Brad Underwood. And he is silky smooth and he's strong at about 225 pounds. Now, when you talk about Dillingham and Shannon, remember, folks, they are very much underrated defensive players. So I want to see those two get out in passing lanes, create havoc defensively, and push the pace for one of the best teams defensively last year in the Minnesota Timberwolves. Those two should really be dynamic. So really quick, four things I want to look at. I want to look at the play of Bronny. Can we see an improved jump shot and improved confidence offensively? Two, I want to see the three French players, Alex Sarr, Zachary Richiche, and Tijan Salam. What are they bringing coming over to the States? First time we're getting to see them. Number three, can Zach Edey continue to what he did in Summer League when he played in the California Classic with a 14 and 15 game? And then lastly, what do I get out of Rob Dillingham? And can he be a one? And then Terrence Shannon as a two? And how do they impact the defensive end of the floor? This has been your scouting report, or your Betting About the Rim podcast, I should say, for July 11th. For all things sports gambling, download that Sports Grid app. Pre-game, in-game, post-game, props, predictions, and more from the very best in the sports gambling industry. Next podcast will be next week. We'll recap the WNBA as they're getting ready to go to their Olympic break. Does Angel Reese's double-double streak continue? I'll talk about my thoughts about that debacle with the Atlanta Dream. For my producer, Matty George, Vinny does a great job with the graphics. Thank you for listening, folks. Remember, it's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Good night.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.